Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's June 1, 2015, and this is episode 474. This week, we're going to take a look at 10 photographs from a recent visit to the Five Color Lakes, or Goshikinuma, in Fukushima here in Japan. Goshikinuma literally means five color swamps, although that isn't the prettiest translation, so pond is often used, although some of them are definitely large enough to be considered lakes. Goshikinuma are five volcanic lakes in the Urabandai area of Fukushima, at the foot of Mount Bandai. They were formed when Mount Bandai erupted in July 1888, killing approximately 500 people as it destroyed a number of towns. The eruption completely changed the landscape, creating a plateau area and dammed some rivers. The lakes get their five colors from mineral deposits left by the eruption, ranging from a reddish green to a beautiful cobalt blue. I've visited these lakes many times. I used to live about 90 minutes from this area for the first 4 years that I lived in Japan, so 24 years ago now. I would sometimes drive out here after a night shift and photograph these and the other lakes in the area. On this occasion, my wife and I were staying at her father's house to look after him for a few days, and I was able to get some time away before we returned to Tokyo, so I took a drive out to these lakes for the first time in a few years. There's an approximately 4 kilometer path that you can walk along, getting a reasonable view of each of the five lakes, and I took a steady walk, stopping to shoot images that we'll look at today. The light is a little harsh in some of these, due to the time of day that I was able to visit, but I usually find that the colors in the lakes themselves is a little stronger when they're lit from above, rather than early morning or late in the day, so there's a bit of a trade-off here. Anyway, let's jump in and start to look at the photos. First up, this is the Bishamon Pond, which is a cobalt blue, as you can see. In the distance is the two peaks of Mount Bandai, the volcano that erupted, creating the lakes. Apparently, it was the eruption that took out the middle of the mountain, breaking it into two peaks. Bishamon is actually the Japanese name for Vaisravana, a Buddhist deity, and anime fans will probably recognize the name as Bishamon 10 in RG Veda. I shot this at f11 with a shutter speed of a 13th of a second at ISO 100. Note that for most of the photos we'll look at today, I've used Color Effects Pro to darken down the mountain a little because it's summer here now and there was a little bit of haze in the middle of the day. I also applied the Reflector Effects filter to give the foreground water and trees a bit of punch. The original photos were okay, but I felt that they looked closer to the lush greens and vivid color of the water, so I just wanted to really give the scene a bit of a boost. This next photograph is a little bit further along at the corner of the Bishamon Pond, basically about 5 minutes to the right of the first photo that we looked at. Thinking about it, for these first few frames, I was also using the Singray LB Color Combo Polarizer filter to bring out the lush greens. I had it dialed down just a little bit though, because I didn't want to remove the reflection of the trees in the water. This was shot at f11 again with a shutter speed of a 15th of a second, ISO 100. I removed the polarizer and put on an ND1000 for this next shot, with the exact same framing as the previous image. The ND1000 gives me 10 stops of darkness, which resulted in a 25 second exposure at f16 ISO 100, so the flow of the water in the lake was recorded as streaks, which came as a bit of a surprise to me as I didn't think the water was moving that much. I also did a black and white version of this, as I usually do with long exposures, but for this one, I think I like the lush greens and the blue of the lake too much to remove the color. As I walked further along the trail, I came to a small concrete bridge across a stream that was running into the final corner of the Bishamon Lake before I moved on. This time I could see that the water was flowing under the bridge, and so once again I used the ND1000 for a 30 second exposure at F14 ISO 200. This caused the water to smooth over, as we see here. My thinking with the composition on this one was that I wanted to show the water flowing through this kind of frame that was created by the reeds and grasses either side of the opening, but also the trees along the top and sides. The patch of blue water then gives us a destination to place ourselves within the image, and then the trees in the distance stop the eye there, for me at least, and send the eyes back into the foreground again. When viewed large, you can see patches of movement in both the foreground reeds and the trees throughout the shot. I know that this bugs some people, but I feel that it adds to the movement and dynamism of a shot, and so I like doing long exposures, even when there are trees in the frame with a bit of a breeze. By the way, if you are wondering why I'm talking about these images as though you can actually see each one, that's because if you're listening to the Enhanced podcast on a computer in iTunes, you actually can see the images as we go along. There's a post on martinbaileyphotography.com that shows you how to do that. You have to click on something. It should work on iOS devices as well if you subscribe to the Enhanced podcast, but that's broken still. Apple have, it's been probably a year now since they broke it, and the support team seem to be getting nowhere fixing it. But the best thing to do is if you can't find out how to see the images, just visit the martinbaileyphotography.com website for each blog post that is related to the episodes. And the, you know, we start each episode with a number, episode number 474. If you want to go and see the images and follow along with the transcript, just go to mbp.ac and then the episode number. So mbp.ac/474. And if you click on the images, initially they will, at the moment with the software, the plugins that I've got installed, they'll start to cycle through a slideshow, changing every 6 seconds. If you want to stop that and just look at the image, just put your mouse over the image and it'll stop where it is. Okay, so this next photograph. I experimented quite a lot with the composition in this and ended up with the camera quite low with a root running along the bottom of the middle of, you know, the bottom of the frame to the middle. Because of the low angle, I was able to include the stream, but then tilt the camera up a little to get the greenery along the top half of the frame and the tree trunks to the left included in the frame as well. This is actually a good reminder of the feeling of the day for me. I was being stung by mosquitoes the entire time, and for me this early summer green here in Japan almost symbolizes the heat and humidity that the mozzies love so much. Because this angle gave me a substantial amount of water in the stream, in the bottom right quadrant, I used the Singray Color Combo Polarizer again to reduce the glare of the water, enabling us to see to the bottom of the stream and not the silvery reflections that I was seeing there without the polarizer. This also made the ferns and the other foliage that beautiful lush green that we see. So although I don't use a polarizer very often, this was another occasion when I thought it made sense. The LB in the Singray filter names stands for lighter and brighter. So although polarizers usually reduce the light entering the camera by around 2 stops, these are said to be about 1 1/3 of a stop. And this gave me an exposure of 2.5 seconds at F14 ISO 100. The next of the lakes is Benten Numa, which held my attention for quite a while as I waited for the breeze to do various things to the surface of the pond, and I'd found a small tree growing out of a foot or so out of the water, as we can see in this next couple of photographs. Benten is actually a variation of the name Benzaiten, both of which are a Japanese Buddhist goddess who originated from the Hindu goddess Saraswati. Bishamon and Benten are two of the Shichifukujin, or the seven gods of good fortune. This is also commonly translated as the seven lucky gods in English, but that sounds to me like the gods themselves are lucky, so I prefer the former translation. As I watched the water on the Benten Lake, it went from completely still, just totally blue, to almost totally textured by the patterns formed by the breeze on the surface of the water. In this photo, you can see how the breeze is catching the water in bands. I included a small outcrop from the left side and the distant trees in this one for context, and shot a few frames to get one that I considered to be the most pleasing. I was using the 24-70mm lens until this point, but for this shot, I switched to the new 100-400mm lens and shot this at 153mm. And that's basically so that I could pick out what I considered to be the most interesting part of the lake, just a relatively small portion of the larger scene. This was shot at f16 for 13 seconds at ISO 100. For this next photo, I zoomed in a little more to 227mm and framed up just the tree with a little surrounding water, and I was basically just sitting on a stone bench at the side of the lake watching the patterns change in the breeze. The white in the very bottom of these shots is the reflection of the white sky above the trees on the opposite bank of the pond, but the white at the back, the top of the frame here, was caused by the breeze. For this shot, I just like how the two white areas seem to frame the central band of colour in the tree. I also like how the blue is broken up by the reddish mud at the bottom of the pond. I was using an ND400 for these shots, by the way, for a 13-second exposure. Note too that I turned off the image stabilization on the 100-400 while doing these long exposures, as it can mess up the photo by moving around in mid-exposure. I know that the manual says that the lens senses when it's on a tripod and behaves itself, but that's not the case. The IS can and generally does mess up long exposures, even when using a tripod. In this next photo, we see a view of Rudinuma. Rudi is apparently translated as lapis lazuli. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, or just lapis, which is a deep blue-coloured semi-precious stone. The pond itself wasn't very colourful while I was there, but I thought I'd capture this postcard sort of scene while I was there, again with Mount Bandai in the distance. This was shot at f14 with a tenth of a second exposure at ISO 100. I didn't see much point in doing a long exposure for this one, although the clouds had now started to make the sky a little bit more interesting, which was another reason that I was tempted to capture this scene. The last pond that I have a photo from that I want to share is Aonuma. Ao is Japanese for blue, and although the official colour for blue is a true blue, in everyday life the Japanese use the word ao to mean a greenish blue, very much like the colour we see in the photograph here. In fact, the Japanese call green lights of a set of traffic lights ao, and although it's a bluer green than Western traffic lights, it's definitely still not a true blue either. Anyway, I found that the reflections of the fresh green leaves kind of doubling up with the greenish blue of the water here very appealing. I shot a few variations with different patches of trees, but this one is probably my favourite because of the white branch in the top left there, just top left of centre. That really just breaks it all up a little bit. After this, I did what a lot of people do and jumped in a taxi at the end of the trail and had the driver take me back to the start of the trail where I'd parked my car. I used the taxi partly because I needed to get back to my wife's family home before dinner, but also because the sky was starting to get interesting and I wanted to capture this next photo before the opportunity was lost. The heavy cloud at this point had pretty much stolen all of the colour from the water, and the trees were looking pretty drab by this point, so it was a much easier decision to discard the colour now. I was also happy to have this guy in the boat as an additional element too. I wasn't so happy with his pose, as he was digging around for something at the bottom of the lake, but I waited for him to look relatively natural as he went about his work. This was shot at f14 for a 60th of a second at ISO 100. I actually also had an old Yashica D twin lens reflex medium format camera with me on this day, and shot a number of frames with that too as I walked around the lakes. Depending on how much time I can free up over this week, I'm hoping to do a couple of videos in the coming weeks to walk you through my first attempts at developing my own medium format film, so stay tuned for that if that's the sort of thing that interests you. Just to clarify though, I'm not moving to film or anything like that. I love the freedom of digital, but I've always really longed to develop my own film, and although I'll be scanning the negatives, I've really enjoyed researching all of the tools and chemicals that are required, and I can't wait to dive in and develop that first film and share the experience with you. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.